HDRadioNetwork.com.
It's time for the Sheehan Sports Hour with your host, Doug Sheehan. Talking everything sports, from baseball to hockey to racing and everything in between, nothing sports related is off topic. Give Doug a call now, 774-745-5950. Each and every Wednesday night, heard exclusively on the Victory Lane Radio Network. Let's go to Doug Sheehan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sheehan Sports Hour. I'm your host, Doug Sheehan. Thank you for joining me here tonight, Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. We are officially on the first show after the one-year anniversary. And if you guys didn't get to hear that, I've yet to upload it to SoundCloud. I'm slacking on SoundCloud lately, so it is not available for on-demand play. But right after the show, I will upload the 100th anniversary. Yeah, doing it for 100 years, boys. The one-year anniversary, as well as any this episode, and eventually I'll get back to uploading the episodes I missed from the past month or so. But I do need to catch up to that. But we are live once again here, back on our Wednesday schedule, which I think will be disrupted again next week, because I believe next week will we be at Seekonk? I think we're at Seekonk next Wednesday night, so we will be disrupted once again from our Wednesday schedule, but that's quite all right. We'll make it work. We'll make it work for sure, and we'll have some fun down there at Seekonk. I think it's Seekonk. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. I know it's a good drive, so I think they have their open wheel Wednesday. But plenty of stuff on tap tonight for the show tonight. Joey Stone will be calling me in just a few minutes to talk NASCAR. And I haven't talked to him in a few weeks, so we have plenty to catch up on, and we'll just, you know, talk about basically how the first half of the season has been. There's also, as well as, what was the last race? Was at Michigan, so we'll talk Michigan, and then we'll look forward to Sonoma this weekend. We will also, later in the show, when Joey is all said and done, we'll talk Derrick Rose, his big trade to the New York Knicks, and why I don't really think it's that big of a deal. The NHL has announced officially that they will be expanding to Las Vegas for next, not this upcoming season, but the 2017-2018 season. Going to be very exciting and much, much more. But Joey Stone is in right about now. Joey, thanks for joining me.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I am doing fantastic. Been a long time. How you been?
I've been good, man. Just enjoying the off week from the racing and ready to get back at it this weekend.
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's the summer break for NASCAR. They've had, in my eyes, and I talked a little bit about it Saturday with Joseph Lombard when he came on for the show, that it's been a pretty solid season so far. And to me personally, it's been a lot better than the last couple of years, you know, of the quality of races week to week. What are your thoughts on the first, I guess, not technically half, but the first portion of the season?
I think it kind of blew expectations a little bit. Like, the racing has been very, very good, especially with this new package they brought to 2016. I really wish they won't change it for 2017, but from what we saw at Michigan, the future looks pretty bright for the sport, that is. But so far, I think it blew a lot of expectations away from having, you know, the same typical season to actually having a very competitive and very entertaining season thus far, especially with the rookies out driving the veterans for most of the weeks and all the dominating performances, all the photo finishes and all the near wrecks and crazy restarts. It's just been it's been a really good start to the season, one of the best I've seen in quite a few years.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that. I think, like I said, the quality of races week to week, they've, at least for me, there are people who, you know, in all forms of sport, entertainment, whatever, it's nothing's as good as it was back in this day, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, 90s, whatever it was. So for a lot of people, today's NASCAR is crap compared to what it was in the 90s. But for the most part, people understand that things change. And I think, it took a little bit to get used to this new package they've implemented, or the modifications they've made to get to this point. But I think the point they're at now, they pretty much have hit the nail right on the head, which with how the races should be and how they have turned out with passing, with drafting, with the speeds and whatnot, these cards have been have been very, very good this year, I think. And you haven't heard the drivers really get that frustrated more than they normally would, you know, complaining about the car compared to past years. Now, looking ahead, we're going to Sonoma next week. Joey, first, I believe it's the first road course. They haven't hit Watkins Glen yet, if I'm not mistaken. But Sonoma,
you're correct, man.
Yeah, last year we saw, you know, A.J. Allmendinger was the favorite probably going into this, but he ended up having a lot of mechanical failures and then ended up going to Kyle Busch coming back from his injury. Kurt, I think, finished second. What do you expect this year from Sonoma?
I think we're going to expect a couple of new challengers coming into this field. I expect Joe Gibbs, especially I expect Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards to be competitors there. Carl Edwards won the race back in 2014 after being chased down from Jeff Gordon. He was able to hold him off. Kyle Busch with his comeback win there at Sonoma. He's been getting better at road courses every year. It's not his first rodeo that he's been a competitor at a road course, so I think he's going to be a good factor. I expect Martin Truex to be really good too. He's had some road course experience in the past. He won at Sonoma, I believe, back in 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
with the Napa car, yep, and Michael Waltrip Racing. And not the way Furniture Row has been this year. Do not be surprised if he's up there near the front. I think with this new package, the way drivers have been a little more aggressive or anything, I expect it's going to be we're going to see a few calamity corners in this race. Not too crazy, but I think we're going to see a few drivers get a little temper from other drivers this weekend. But I expect a good race. I think it's going to be your typical road course where you want to sleep halfway through it. But when you wake up and see those last 20 laps, you will be out of your seat watching this thing. So I think it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, every time they go to a road course, you have high expectations for racing in general, and you know they really don't seem to disappoint. There are always those, you know, sneaky crazy wrecks. We saw a big wreck last year with Martin Truex Jr. going into the tire wall. Matt Kenseth has had a bad wreck there, and you don't really expect those at the way, you know, they drive around the road course. They, you know, it seems like they're going much slower, which they are in most cases, but you don't expect to see any violent crashes like that. I guess we'll get right down to it. Going into Sonoma, who do you have taking home the checkered flag?
I got Martin Truex Jr. taking the checkered flag, and the reason why is, like I said, he's a previous winner there with the not-so-top-notch equipment, and now the way Furniture Row is with that Joe Gibbs alliance and Toyota, the way that team has been driving this year, they've had a bad luck the past couple of weeks. I expect them to run good at Michigan, and they were until they spun out and had some problems in pit road. But I expect him to win this race. I don't think he's going to dominate. I think we're going to see Kyle Busch, maybe Carl Edwards, maybe even A.J. Allmendinger throw his name in the air. Expect maybe one of the Hendrick cars to be up there too. But I expect Martin Truex to, at the end, get this win, get his second win of the season, and only show more confidence and to more viewers that he is ready to win a championship this year.
Yeah, I think he certainly is. I think he's definitely a favorite going into this race, just again based on how he's done in the past. I think this week, to me, I'm looking at a Penske guy for no real reason. I think Brad Keselowski is going to have a good run. You know, if I have to pick somebody, I guess I'll go with Brad. Why? There's no specific reason. I just feel like we saw Joey win a Michigan, and then Brad has won this year. But I think it's, you know, I think this could be a good week for him. Again, we'll know more when we see practice and qualifying results for sure. But last but not least, before I let you go, Joey, how's your league going? Your racing league? I haven't talked to you in a while, and you got any updates for me?
Yeah, man, still the points leader. I'm having a good season so far. We actually ran our Sonoma race this previous Sunday. We're going to race Daytona this week, so that way we have our July 4th weekend off to spend time with our families and loved ones for Independence Weekend. But we had a great car. We led the most laps, and that track is very, very slick, and even me leading the most laps, I still have problems with it. About three to go, I lost control of the car and gave up the lead and wound up finishing fourth. It was a good run, but we know we deserved a lot more better than that. In Michigan, we just got caught up in a wreck on the last restart, and had a few couple bad weekends, but we got Daytona coming up, and I always love racing there. It's always like a, you know, drawing a raffle ticket out, just hoping you win. So it's going to be fun. I'm definitely going to go out there and try to win the race, but still the points leader, still holding on. We're having a great season, so I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, good to hear, man, and I will best of luck at your next race, and I'll talk to you hopefully next week post-Sonoma. We'll see what happens.
Yes, sir, you got it. Can't wait for next week.
Sounds good, man. Have a good night. Joey Stone, everybody, thank you to him once again for joining me on the show back in his hopefully weekly time slot there. It was very nice to have him back on. So moving on now to some basketball. That is the big story, I think, on tap for today, mainly because we've already have so many rumors going around about the Celtics moving that third pick. We also have a ton of rumors in the NBA in general. The NBA draft is tomorrow night, of course, and we've already had a couple trades, like I mentioned before Joey came on. So the NBA will be a hot topic tonight, as well as the NHL, because the NHL draft is only 2 days away. So I'll talk a bit about some trades that went on, signings, potential draft picks, and what to expect. We have a feeling on in both the NBA and NHL draft who is going first overall. So we'll see what happens. Again, that's the best thing about these drafts with the high picks, or having a team you're invested in have a high pick like this with the Celtics, because you pay so much more attention to it, because A, there is always that chance that they make a big trade and something crazy happens, and also there is a chance that they draft somebody who could become, you know, the next superstar. And it's really exciting to see. And if you are a big, you know, actually the NHL awards are going on right now, so I'm not going to be able to see that. But if you are a big fan of either the NBA or the NHL, a few guys to follow over the next few days on Twitter, if you have a Twitter, I certainly recommend Adrian Wojnarowski. WOJ Vertical NBA is his Twitter handle. He works for Yahoo Sports. He is fantastic when a car, not Yahoo, used to get work for Yahoo Sports. I pretty much, is he still Yahoo? Well, I know he's part of the Vertical, so yeah, that is part of Yahoo. So he's still with Yahoo, but Wojnarowski is fantastic with getting story out ASAP, and always has good information regarding the NBA. As on the hockey side, I immediately go to TSN in Canada. I look at Pierre LeBrun, I look at Darren Dreger, and I look at Bob McKenzie. Those three guys, that is a great trio. There are a few others. Elliot Friedman is one of them. There are a handful of guys in Canada that are great, but those are the top three: McKenzie, Darren Dreger, and Pierre LeBrun. If you need anything to do with hockey, those are your guys. So let's go into hockey right now, because I don't think I have as much to talk about in the NHL as I do the NBA. But there were a couple quick pieces that I did want to go over real quick. Again, we haven't had too many big deals since the last show on Saturday. There was a bunch of little signings. The big news, I guess, that was, you know, looming for a while but eventually made official is Saturday the Detroit Red Wings have announced the release and the release, but Pavel Datsyuk announced that he is going back to Russia and will no longer play in the NHL. So the Red Wings, I believe, still owe him his contract. We'll see how that works out. I don't know if they're able to work out a mutual agreement so they don't have to put him on the books, but I think with the release, he's still against the salary cap. So that'll hurt the Red Wings for this year. But, you know, losing the salary cap again, Datsyuk left to head back to Russia where he is from. And that's completely understandable. It also might be a blessing in disguise that, yes, you still have to pay for Datsyuk while he's not here, but maybe Datsyuk understood that he doesn't have, you know, he's not worth the money you're paying him. So it almost, despite the fact that you still have to take his money and incorporate it into your salary, it might be a benefit that he's not on the ice, because if he's not playing to his full potential, then you're, in a sense, you can't really waste a roster spot on Pavel Datsyuk. But in a sense, you're wasting a roster spot on him, because you could have a young guy getting up there, starting to develop. You have to imagine the Detroit Red Wings are in the middle. They've always been in this position, but, you know, they're on that playoff winning streak. It just seems like, you know, they're in a sort of constant rebuild while remaining incredibly consistent. They're raffling through so many different guys, young guys, and veterans. That's the number one thing. You don't really see the Red Wings sign too many guys in their mid to late 20s or early 30s. You see a guy, maybe early 30s, but you'll see them either bring in and develop a young kid, or they'll bring in a guy in the last contract of his career that wants to win a championship. You don't see the middle too often with the Red Wings, and they always seem to you know, put together a really solid team. And you know, they have the young star power going forward with Tatar, with Nyquist. On the back end, they have Mike Green hanging around still. You know, this team, you have Mrazek and Net. They have Yurko. Actually, I think did Yurko get moved? That was probably a bad example. But my point is, this Red Wings team there, despite the fact that they lose Datsyuk, they're not too bad off. They'll still be a playoff contender next year. I just want to see if they traded Yurko. They'll still be a playoff contender next year. That's not a problem. Of course, they have Dylan Larkin, who's one of the best players in hockey, in my opinion, at only 19 years old. Is incredible. They re-signed Riley Sheehan to a couple-year deal. Zetterberg's still there as well, though he's getting up there in age. He is 35 right now. Then they have the veteran in Brad Richards on the back end. You have the Detroit Red Wing lifer, Darren Helm. They still have Yurko, so I wasn't wrong with that. Timo Pulkkinen made a bit of an impact last year. And then on the back end, DeKaiser's in the middle of a contract thing. But their defense is something they'd have to worry about a little bit, and maybe that's something they'll improve on again. They have a good defense. It's just the age that is and maybe getting to them. You look at Nick Cronwall, of course, one of the best, hardest-hitting defensemen in the league. He's up there in age. He's 35. Mike Green, who they brought in last year, is 30 this year. Jonathan Erickson's 32. Kyle Quincy is 30. They have Brendan Smith, who should be around for a bit. He's only 27, but still their youngest defenseman on their active roster right now is Alexei Marchenko at 24. So, you know, you look at most of the teams in the league, their defense is far, you know, less, you know, far younger than the defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings. Sorry, so they have plenty of room to make improvements, and obviously that is because, you know, that is evident because of how they played last year. They were a good team, but they weren't fantastic by any means. So they have plenty of room to improve, especially on the back end. And again, it's a blessing in disguise with Datsyuk. You hate to see the guy go. He is one of the best hockey players in this generation, if not of all time, just pure skill level. Obviously, I don't think he put up nearly the amount of points as some other big names in hockey history, but just unbelievable skill level, absolute magician with the puck. If you ever want to introduce somebody to the sport of hockey, or just, you know, watch some awesome clips if you're a hockey fan, go on YouTube and watch some highlights of Pavel Datsyuk. You can probably find like a top 10 shootout move, or just top 10 Pavel Datsyuk plays or goals or something, because he is an absolute madman with the puck. He is fantastic. So he will surely be missed in the NHL. I am a huge, huge Datsyuk fan. But, you know, especially in a sport like hockey, where so many players come from so many different places around the entire world, you look at Pavel Datsyuk playing his whole career in America, being from Russia, about what, a 20-year career almost, and he finally decides to go home. And the best part is, going to the KHL, he's still got a couple more years making some decent money in the KHL. That is still, for sure, you can make it into your 40s, mid-40s if you want, in that league and still be competitive. You know, it is a professional league. It is a solid league. Obviously, it doesn't compare completely to the NHL, but it's definitely better than the AHL, in my opinion. It's certainly better than that. And it's just, you know, you see so many guys from Russia come to America, make their money, play their, you know, career here, and then say, you know what, I'm going to go home. I'm going to have some fun for 2 years. I'm going to play with some friends. I'm going to play with, in front of my family, and I'm going to play hockey in the country that I love. And it's really cool to have that because you don't really see that with any other professional leagues. Maybe soccer, I guess, could be one of them since so many of the major leagues are outside of the United States. But you don't really see that in too many sports, at least major sports, for sure. So Red Wings have a good future ahead of them, despite that it may not look like that on the outside. Other news, though, in the hockey world, we had a couple interesting trades here coming on. I believe it was Monday. The first one, the Toronto Maple Leafs have traded for the goaltender Frederik Andersen from the Anaheim Ducks. Andersen had a pretty good spurt of goaltending over the last year or two, where he really just took off and looked like he was the guy in Anaheim. John Gibson then moved in, and Andersen kind of fell to the backup role and wasn't as prominent, but he still cost a hefty amount as the Leafs gave up a first-round pick and a second-round pick next year. That first-round pick is a 30th overall pick, so not a top pick, not a lottery one, but a solid pick nonetheless. We saw Jimmy Vesey go to the Buffalo Sabres, the young kid from Harvard that every Boston fan ever assumed that he was coming to Boston when he announced that he was not going to play for the Nashville Predators. Everyone assumed he was coming here. Now, again, that isn't lost at all. Vesey got traded to Buffalo, but it's just his negotiating rights. He still can decide whether he wants to sign with them or not, as he will be a free agent. So we'll see. Buffalo certainly is one of those teams that, you know, you heard it narrowed down to Boston and Toronto. A lot of people were saying, because Boston being where he's from, Toronto being where his dad works as a scout. But Buffalo is interesting. He could be playing alongside Jack Eichel in a team that is on the rise. It took a while, but the team they built there is certainly on the rise. The reported pursuit that they may take to go after Steven Stamkos, they apparently want to go all in on Stamkos. So if Buffalo is going to go all in on Stamkos, that is a huge selling point to Vesey, saying, hey, you know, we want you to play here. I know it's not your number one choice, but this is what we can offer you. And you think of what they have again: Ryan O'Reilly, Jack Eichel, Tyler Ennis, potentially Steven Stamkos, you know. So will we see Vesey come to Boston? There's still a chance, but you know, he's in a solid spot, much better spot than Nashville if you're that kid. I think Buffalo is a better spot to be, not in the sense of location or anything, but in the sense that you have a future team right there. Nashville's sort of been stuck in the mud. They've been a good team year in and year out, but they haven't made any progress. You know, some years Pekka Rinne's played insane, some years he hasn't, and it doesn't matter either way because they've been a first, second round exit every single time. They've never made it to the cup, nothing. So, you know, what are you going to do there? Vesey obviously can exercise that option where you can say, you know what, I don't want to sign here. I don't want to sign my rookie deal. I'm going to go elsewhere. They get a third-round pick for him. Buffalo took the chance. Say, you know what, we'll give this up. We really think we can convince him to stay with us. Nashville gets a third-round pick for, you know, you do. I believe they drafted him in the third round initially, so you pretty much don't win or lose anything. I mean, the amount of buzz around Vesey makes it seem like Nashville's losing, but you don't know what he is. You really don't know until he steps on the ice in the NHL and starts playing. So, again, it is disappointing from the outside if you're Nashville, but in the end, you know, you can't cry over too much because you got back what you needed. Big news from Florida. They actually traded for the rights to Keith Yandel from the New York Rangers for a sixth-round pick. Again, Yandel would be certainly a solid fit with Brian Campbell leaving Florida. We'll see what happens with him if he decides to sign with Florida or go to the free agent market. The official retirement of Vinny LeCavalier from the Los Angeles Kings. We knew it was coming, but he made it official the other day. And some news that is very detrimental to me because I am very sad about it. Alex Goligoski has signed a 5-year contract with the Arizona Coyotes. I'm a big Alex Goligoski fan, and the news when he was potentially going to free agency and there was a chance that he could come to the Boston Bruins because we needed a defenseman, I was very excited. But sadly, today we learned that he has decided to commit 5 years to the Arizona Coyotes, and that's okay. That's fine with me. But the Goose was somebody who I really wanted to see in Boston, so I'll be cheering for the Coyotes over the next few years for sure. In my back pocket, and I'm not going to make it public, but very excited to see Goligoski and how he can do in Arizona and how he can help that team, because that is a nice young team. I talked about it a bit on Saturday when they made the announcement that he was traded to the Coyotes, and his rights to his I wish I could talk tonight. That'd be nice. You know, if you're having a talk show, you got to make sure you can talk. His negotiation rights were traded to Arizona. I talked about that on Saturday, but he's officially signed with the Coyotes. So that's one of the first big signings of the free agent period. I guess behind Frederik Andersen, maybe. Probably behind him. Also, in the world of the NHL, before I move on to the NBA, like I mentioned earlier, the NHL has approved a team in Las Vegas. They'll be coming in to commission in 2017. The way it looks, they'll be playing at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. That's extremely exciting news, in my opinion. For one reason why, is because the NHL got the first team into Vegas. That is awesome because, you know, they beat the NFL there. They beat the NBA there. I don't think baseball's ever going there. But they got the first team there, and that really helps out the NHL, because if you want to watch professional sports in Vegas that isn't, you know, boxing or UFC or anything like that, you can now go and watch a team coming next year. The second reason why I love this so much is because it's an expansion draft. I get to witness my first expansion draft. Now, obviously, there was one in 2000, I believe, that I was alive for, but I certainly wasn't. I had no idea. I didn't know what the hell it was. But now I get to experience my first expansion draft and the potential of the team that could come about with this Vegas deal. It should be pretty interesting. Now, if you aren't familiar with the expansion draft, what is allowed? Each team will protect a certain amount of players. I want to wait till they specify exactly how they're going to do this. I don't know if they're going to keep it the same as it has been in past years or what, but the official rules are, you know, just kind of the quick rundown. Each team will protect a certain amount of players. Now, you can either protect, you have two options. You can either protect seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goaltender, or eight skaters total and one goaltender. And it doesn't seem like a lot, and it really isn't. But when you think about, like, if you're worried you're going to lose some guys on your team, it is worrisome to a degree, but then you think of there's 30 teams they can pick from. It's not too bad. That's the craziest thing about this is, you know, there are people who could just be nitpicked out of something. Contracts don't matter, nothing. It's just all a matter of picking. So the no movement clause players, they have to be protected, have to be, which is pretty. You know, in some senses, it's fine, but if you have a no-movement clause on an old guy, I think Seidenberg might have one or something. That's very disappointing because you have to waste a protect on him when you could rather protect somebody else. So they'll have to figure that out. Again, I'm not sure about that, but they'll have to figure that out. And then the other catch, all first- and second-year professional players in the NHL are protected automatically, and unsigned draft choices are protected. So those don't count. They're exempt. So they won't count towards any. They're just automatically still on the team. They won't go anywhere. So any young guys in the league who have started to make an impact, they, you know, you don't have to worry about losing them. Also, let me see here if I can. Just trying to read through if there's anything else to touch on. But my point is, the the chance of a Vegas team being great right away, yeah, they'll be. I think they'll be good. You know, we haven't seen, you know, in the past when they did expansion drafts, you didn't see the expansion teams go right to the top, but a lot of them had some, you know, they had some success. I mean, mainly you're going to see guys go that are, you know, forward wise, probably third, fourth liners, maybe one, you know, interesting guy might slip through the cracks there. But otherwise, you're just looking at, I mean, on defense, you're looking at, again, second, third liners for the most part. You won't see any top line guys go unless there's some sort of cap dump, because this is the thing you want to do is if you have a guy that you don't want their salary and you think there's a chance he could get picked, you don't protect them, because you could easily, you know, get rid of a guy who has a high cap. Now, obviously, the new franchise in Vegas isn't going to pick guys that they shouldn't pick. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But they are going to have to put together a team, and they're going to want to be competitive, so you can't just pick duds to keep your, you know, cap low. You're going to have to take some hits. You obviously need to hit the cap floor, so if there's a guy in there, like a David Clarkson-type player who you haven't picked and you need to raise your cap, put him on the team and play him or don't play him, take his cap. Take his cap hit, absolutely. So Las Vegas, that's going to be pretty interesting. That'll be very interesting. I am excited more just to see a new team. I think it's going to be very exciting when we see a new team and just, you know, see the expansion draft and see how it works out. Obviously, everyone's real anxious about the team name. We've heard Aces. We've heard Gamblers, obviously, for, you know, surprise, surprise. We've heard Aces. We've heard, I think I said Aces twice. What else have we heard? There's a good list of names. I think Aces makes the most sense, just, you know, because they're in Vegas. Gamblers would be too corny. That would just be dumb. Plus, it seems like they're promoting gambling, which they probably don't want to get that look, despite the fact that they're going to have to figure out how the hell they deal with gambling in Vegas with a professional team. So I'm sure they'll figure that out, but I am really excited to see a whole new brand in the NHL, which immediately makes you anxious to think that, hey, you know, are we going to have a 32nd team to make it even now? Because we'll be at 31 after this. And there have been plenty of rumors of teams relocating, but also expanding. You know, they wanted to, as far as it seemed, they wanted to have an even amount at all times. So to, if you're getting any sort of expansion, you want two teams going with you. You want to add two teams so it makes everything easier. So we'll see if they actually do that. We'll see if they, you know, I don't think it'll be the same year based on how long this took and all the processes that had to go through. I believe the Vegas team that bought the Vegas ownership has to pay $500 million to the NHL. Is it $500 million, I think? So that's a very, very, very big bill to pay. And I believe the last expansion was nowhere near that. Let me look here. Yeah, the expansion teams from in 1966, I thought I read this earlier, the expansion six: Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Philly, Minneapolis, Oakland, and Oakland. They had to pay $2 million each to get into the league. And Las Vegas is paying $500 million. That is insane to think. I mean, obviously, they're going to make plenty of money back. That's not really a big deal. But when you think of it in general, that is a huge chunk of money. Huge chunk of money. So let's move on now to the NBA and the NBA draft. We know that is tomorrow night. And boy, oh boy, it is exciting. Very exciting. I always like the drafts every year, you know, mainly because of potential trades. And it's also, like I mentioned earlier, it's getting even more exciting in the sense that the Celtics have the third overall pick. Are they going to trade people? Are they going to, you know, draft somebody? Who are they going to draft? Are they going to take a gamble on Dragan Bender, who has been criticized to no end on the way he plays? I have no idea. We will see. But the big news today that we heard, the first big trade in the NBA in the offseason, Chicago Bulls former star Derrick Rose has been traded along with Justin Holiday and the second round pick in next year's draft to the New York Knicks for Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, and Jerian Grant. Now, immediately, Derrick Rose leaving Chicago, that is huge in that sense. Very surprising he's leaving Chicago because he's been the face of that team for a long, long time. And he's been very good when he's been on the floor. That's the big problem. Now, the way I look at it is how often Derrick Rose has been injured. It's really unfortunate for him. You do feel bad for him. You know, none of it's his fault. He just happens to be one of those guys that just, you know, you can land on your leg 500 times, and some guys will never get hurt landing on their leg. And a guy like Derrick Rose lands on it 500 times, and he gets hurt 5 times. And that 5 times can ruin your career. And it certainly has ruined Derrick Rose's career for the most part. He's had an MVP season. He's played fantastic when he's been healthy. But, you know, with him, the number one thing you hear is how injury-prone he is. And it's very disappointing to see. If it's not one ACL, it's the other. If it's not one, it's not the other ACL, it's an Achilles. If it's not this, it's that. Just never ending for Derrick Rose. So it is disappointing to see. But he's going to the New York Knicks to play alongside with Carmelo Anthony, barring any trades with Anthony. But the way they structured this to get Derrick Rose in, I don't think they are moving Carmelo at all. I think they are trying to plan to have a big three with Robin Lopez and his rather large contract being moved, which is pretty surprising in the sense that they went out of their way to sign him to a big deal to try to, you know, get the most out of him that they could when that was already a bit of a stretch because he's no superstar. He's a very good player, but he's not a superstar by any means. They paid a lot of money for Robin. He didn't turn out. So now looking at free agency, and the number one guy that I've heard could be going to New York and that I would love to go to New York is Dwight Howard. Now, again, for Derrick Rose leaving Chicago, I don't see it's a big deal because I really don't think he's as nearly as good as he once was. So it's almost like, you know, the big name player falling off the map, out of his prime, going to the big city to try to sell more tickets. Could Derrick, if he's healthy, have a good year? Absolutely. The team he's playing around, his shooting ability is fine. He might not be able to run up and dunk all over everybody anymore, but he could certainly persevere as a player. Now, take him, take Melo, and then add in Dwight Howard. Again, that's, you know, all speculation right now, but that seems like it would make a lot of sense. You're losing your top center, which is always tough to do, especially a guy that you know really gambled on to try to get in here and have a really good career. So you bring him, you get rid of him, and now you got to work on getting somebody. And there's a few guys out in the market, but Dwight Howard would be fantastic in New York. He's a hothead playing next to a guy. It's funny because you have, so D Rose, you have the injury prone guy. Then you have Carmelo Anthony, the guy who is accused of never passing. And you have Dwight Howard, the guy who is accused of killing coaches, ruining teams, and just being an overall nutcase. You put them all on the same team. It's almost like if all goes well, you could have three guys who have all been labeled as great players in their career but have never been able to win and have always had a negative, negative connotation to go along with them. And you put them all on the same team. Imagine if they had success. Imagine if they won a championship sort of thing. That would be insane. I don't think they will by any means whatsoever because that is just way too far to stretch. I don't think they're that good whatsoever. But imagine. That's all I'm saying. Just imagine. The team could be pretty good. Could be pretty good. Now, you also can't forget about Kristaps Porzingis playing the four. I don't know how him and Dwight will work. You don't even need Dwight with Porzingis. Are you kidding me? Melo, D. Rose, and Porzingis, if they are even half as good as they should be, that's a playoff team. And they were terrible last year, so that could easily be a playoff team. We'll see. We'll see. It's hard to screw up what you just did if Derrick Rose is healthy. If Derrick Rose isn't healthy, then that was a gamble you made, and it didn't pay off. But, hey, you're off the books for Robin Lopez, and eventually you can blow up the team and start over. Fair enough. Moving on to the draft itself, though. Sixers have already made it pretty clear that they want Ben Simmons. They told him they're taking him. They met with him today. Ben Simmons will be going number one overall. Now, number two overall to the Lakers has pretty much been, you know, unofficially labeled as Brandon Ingram out of Duke. 6'9", small forward, can play stretch four sometimes, but he's just a really good small forward. He's really good, and I don't really think the Lakers are going to lose out much if they don't get Ben Simmons. I really think they'll be fine with Brandon Ingram, and they should really have a lot of success because he's just right there. He is the perfect, right as the draft states. Simmons is going one, then Ingram's going two, and that's what you should expect throughout their NBA careers, in my opinion. They'll be just about as good as one another if all goes well. Hopefully no injuries hurt people. Now, the third pick is where it comes in big, both as a Celtics fan and as a draft, just in general with the draft, because the third pick is so pivotal most years, because most years there are two good guys that you know, okay, these guys are going one or two for sure. Sometimes there are 10 guys, sometimes there's one guy. So this year there are two guys going 1-2. Third pick can go many ways. Boston Celtics could go with Dragan Bender. They've also been mentioned Buddy Hield, who they worked out and created a big buzz. Jaylen Brown, Chris Dunn. Man, there have been a ton of different people suggested to go third, and I think it depends on the team. Now, if the Celtics stay at three, there's many options, and I'll rattle through them real quick. They stay at three. They could take Chris Dunn. They could take a guy who has a lot of potential as a point guard, work him into that role, and have him be your point guard. So you're still missing that big man you want. You have guards expendable. You can move Avery Bradley. You can move Marcus Smart. You can move somebody who you think will have enough value and try to get back a scorer in the middle, or try to get a big guy back as well, work with free agency. Because, you know, bringing in a rookie like this, you get a lot of a big break because he's on a really small deal compared to, obviously, the superstar. So you're saving a bit of money, and you can get the production of a superstar out of them if you draft correctly. So do you want to get Dragan Bender, take the risk on a guy from overseas who really hasn't played much in Israel's best league? Or do you want to go with a guy like Chris Dunn, who made a huge, huge mark at Providence this year with a great year? Do you want to go with a guy like Jaylen Brown, who has been labeled potentially the best player in the draft if everything goes well? Certainly has a ton of upside. Again, it's hard to really say he's better right now than Ben Simmons or Graham, but Jaylen Brown certainly has, you know, nothing but good things really come out of somebody's mouth when they talk about Jaylen Brown's basketball ability. Or you go a guy like Buddy Hield had an incredible performance at training camp with you. I think he went there twice. One of them, the big story with him at first, was 85 for 100 from beyond the arc in shooting drills. Again, a little different than real life in the middle of a game, but he still shot 85% on 100 shots. That's pretty insane. So he was coming to play. He was ready. So those are your draft options. Now, the big thing is who else, what other teams do you think want, who do other teams want for the third pick? Chris Dunn is obviously a name that the 76ers want really, really, really bad. So the Sixers have apparently made an offer of Jahlil Okafor or Nerlens Noel. In return, they get the third overall pick. They take Chris Dunn. The Sixers flip Okafor or Noel for Ben Simmons and Chris Dunn. Not bad on their end. because you lose one of your big centers, you still have two of them. You still have Embiid, and you still have whoever you kept. A lot of people forget about Joel Embiid. He is hurt. But if he's able to play, hopefully he's not another Greg Oden, but if he's able to play, man, he will be good. Now, if I'm the Celtics, assuming you don't get a trade that in return you get a Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan-esque player, or a package of two players that will benefit you to no end, this Jahlil Okafor trade is almost unthinkable. You need to take that deal. Hopefully Philly isn't, you know, too hot to pull it off the table. They're not too anxious to either say now or never. I know Boston's really playing a slow card, but man, whether you have to wait till whether you pick Chris Dunn for Philly or not, or you make the trade before or make the trade after, whatever you do, Jahlil Okafor is a really good basketball player. He is a big guy, which is what you need. You need a big guy who can play defense. You need a big guy who can score. You need a big guy who can, you know, just stuff the middle. And what's the best part about Jahlil Okafor? He's 20 years old. Last year averaged 17-7 for the Sixers. That's fine with me because the Sixers sucked. So for him to average that, cool. He averaged a block per game, good enough. Good enough because you put him around a good team, you put him in a good environment, you put him in a positive environment, you make him see, you know, you show him that, hey, this, you're going to matter. You're going to matter. You're going to make an impact. We're going to build around you. We're going to play around you. This is yours. You know, this is your, you're our guy at center. You are a guy. I mean, I would start building the team around this guy. 6'11", 275. He is a huge man who can play the game of basketball very well. And if you want to make your team better, you put guys like this on your team. And I will gladly take a guy like Okafor, who was taken third last year in the draft, that has proved that, hey, he's not someone to... He's a good player. He's not a bust by any means. He's not somebody who... And have they developed yet? I don't know. Maybe not really. I mean, Okafor is unbelievable. If you have to give up something else, if you have to give up Jonas Jerebko, if you have to give up another second-round pick, it doesn't matter. I don't think Philly wants it. I think the way it seems, Philly's just going to say, we'll give you Okafor, you give us the third pick, and that's it. We're done. I'm all for it. Nerlens Noel, a little different story. I think Noel is a good player as well, but he's very good defensively. I don't think Nerlens has that offensive prowess like Jerebko does. Plus, Nerlens is more of a power forward. Maybe, again, maybe that's because of Okafor on the team. But Nerlens was fine. He played okay last year. He's a solid shooter. Again, Okafor I'll take. Nerlens average, I think he averaged about 11-8, give or take. He had pretty much same blocks. I looked it up earlier today because I was thinking about this trade earlier. But, you know, Nerlens is right there with Okafor. I just think Okafor is so much better. Nerlens is 22. Nerlens is a local kid, though, from Malden. I believe he grew up in Everett. At least, you know, he went to high school in Everett. So, you know, what do you do with Nerlens Noel? What do you do with Jahlil Okafor? If you get both of them, good. If you don't, what do you do with the draft pick? Do you take a guy? Do you look elsewhere for a pick? We know the Celtics have offered that pick to Milwaukee for either Chris Middleton or Jabari Parker. Milwaukee said no. The Celtics have talked to the Jazz about Gordon Hayward. No. So there's been a lot of doors opened and immediately closed by other teams. Philly seems to be one door that has just been wide open. The light's still on and they're still open. So, you know, you got to talk to them. You got to figure something out. Again, I think Danny Ainge and the Celtics are kind of just waiting. They're going to see if anybody comes in last minute and says, okay, you know what, you're not budging. We'll give you X, 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 Y, and Z for your pick. And the Celtics are like, okay, we'll do it. And that will be, you know, that's something that might beat out Okafor. But if you don't get, you know, two good players and a pick maybe sort of thing, I'm not talking a top five pick, but I'm talking, you know, two good players, one big guy and one guy you can fit in the middle and then add on a second round pick or a first round pick and later for this pick, I don't see why you don't move it for Jahlil Okafor. I mean, unless you think Dragan Bender is going to be that good, that's the number one thing that we've heard that the Celtics need is a big guy. And, you know, you can argue that you don't really need a big guy because we saw Golden State win it last year. They didn't really have a productive big man. We saw them get to the finals again this year, have one of the best, probably the best regular season in NBA history as well. And you saw the Cavs win the title this year without really having that much of a big man either. Tristan Thompson's a big guy. He's only 6'9", though. LeBron's 6'8". I mean, granted, you have LeBron James, so you don't really need anybody else. LeBron and Kyrie, it's solid. But you can still win with the true big man. The Spurs have done it for years. You've seen a lot of past champions, whether it's Dirk with the Mavericks, Duncan with the Spurs, you know, whatever it may be. They have big players, you know, fitting in those lineups and certainly can work. And I'm not saying Jahlil Okafor is going to be the best player in NBA history at center for the Celtics, but he really can make a positive impact. So I think it's worth it from the Celtics to go after Jahlil Okafor if that's what's seriously being offered by the 76ers. So we'll see. NBA draft tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN probably. I'll be very excited to tune into that. So that'll do it this week for the Sheehan Sports Hour. We'll talk next week with Joey Stone. I believe he'll be back on again to talk about Sonoma, to talk about whatever happened at that race, to talk about his racing league for his video games that he does, as we always talk to him about that. Because I'm a big video game guy, so I like how he implements that. We'll also talk about what happened in the drafts. Again, the NBA draft and the NHL draft, those are going to be two huge, huge things going on. So we'll gladly be talking about that next week. Again, it might not be on Wednesday because of the race at Seekonk. If nothing happens, if that doesn't get canceled. So we will reschedule. Right now, I just imagine it'll be on Thursday at 9. We'll see again. I'm not sure. But just go hop on Facebook, facebook.com/VL Radio Show for all the updates and news. So for Doug Sheehan, appreciate everyone listening at home to the Sheehan Sports Hour, and I will talk to you all next week.
And that'll do it for the Sheehan Sports Hour. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. And remember, if it has anything to do with sports, the Sheehan Sports Hour will have you covered. Heard exclusively on the Victory Lane Radio Network.
HDRadioNetwork.com. First.